The rabbi among them had a strong craving, and the Israelites also wept again and said, "If only we had meat to eat. We remember fish we used to eat in Egypt for nothing, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our strength is dried up, and there is nothing at all but this manna to look at." Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, at all entrances of their tents. Then the Lord became very angry, and Moses was displeased. So Moses said to the Lord, "Why have you treated your servants so badly? Why have I not found favor in your sight, that you lay burden of all the people on me?" So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord. And he gathered the 70 elders of the people and placed them all around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied, but they did not do so again. Two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other named Medad, and the spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent. So they prophesied at the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. And Joshua, son of Nun, the assistant of Moses, one of his chosen men, said, 'My lord Moses, stop them.' But Moses said to him, 'Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit on them?'" This one is from John 6:25-34. "When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, 'Rabbi, when did you get here?'
Jesus answered, 'Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for God that endures eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval.'"
Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?"
Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent."
So they asked him, "What sign will you give that we may see and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from the heaven to eat."
Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world."
"Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Bless the reading and the hearing.
Please pray with me. God, still any voice in us but your own, that in your spirit and your word we might know you and gain life from you as we seek to follow. Amen. When you think of the book of Numbers in the Old Testament, I would invite you to remember three things. First, a journey. A real journey and a spiritual journey, going toward freedom, going from all that enslaves you to all the things that make you free, moving to a better place, a journey. And then I would like for you to think, secondly, of your provisions all coming from God. Money either isn't there or it just won't do it. Your provisions come from God in the book of Numbers. And thirdly, think identity formation. The book of Numbers is about who the Israelites are and who they might become on their way as they follow God. And who is Moses, who is the leader of this people? Of what kind of stuff is he made? What gifts of God are in him? Now today in Numbers 11, it doesn't look too good. This is not the easy day that we see. This is the hard one. This is the one where faith and character are tested. You ever had a day like that? A day on the job? A day in the family? A day on the committee? A day with the deal that's going down? Well, on this stretch of the journey through the wilderness time to a land of great promise, they are all losing it. I mean the parents, in this case God and Moses, the parents, and the children. All of the children, we heard them read, are at the entrance of their tents. They're not out, and they're all crying. They are all complaining, and not for the good purpose of complaint, which is to get something to be better, but for just grumbling, just for murmuring, just for dreaming, but dreaming backwards, not forwards. Dreaming and trying to revert back to old days as if they were better, but they were not. No, the cucumbers and the leeks and the garlic and the melon and the fish, they were far from free. They were slaves in Egypt. But the children of Israel today want some meat. And the text says that God was angry and Moses was politely displeased. I don't like it when my mom's displeased. Look out. God's gift is wilderness bread. It's called manna. This is not what they want. Though in Hebrew, the word manna means literally, what is this? They say that manna was pretty tasty. Manna was a flaky substance. It was common in the Sinai Peninsula. It came down falling every morning like dew. It never failed like God's provisions do not. But for one thing, the children are tired of it. You know, say your prayers, go to church, eat your greens, have your manna, you know. And for another thing, it just didn't seem like much, this manna stuff. Not very high in carbs. It's not your strength training move through the desert energy food. But this was the food for the time when you find yourself in the desert of your life, trying to find your way forward, trying to get to a better day. And you may not like it, but it is there for you. It is there to move you forward well. Bread for your journey. Eat it. Bread for your way to provide. But right now, the children want meat. God is not happy. So what does God do? Now you have to have a sense of humor here because it's written into the text. Because God in the next couple of chapters is going to send in quail. So many quail on the wind that they are going to start complaining about all the quail. They are going to hate all the meat. It's like a harvest of zucchini and tomatoes so great that you can't find a way to make enough relish and sauce and give it to enough people to get rid of it. And what does Moses do? Moses says an honest prayer. Moses throws up his hands, not where the children can see him in exasperation, but before God, where all things can be revealed. And he throws up his hands to God, and we get to hear him in a meeting with God, and he lets it rip. It was read. Lord, why are you treating me, your servant, so badly? What have I done? Haven't I been good? They want meat in the desert? Where in heaven's name am I going to find meat in the desert? Lord, these are not my kids. These are your kids. Why did you put this burden on me? You brought me out here. What is up? Very honest prayer. Maybe you pray like this at times and wonder if it's okay. And it is. Because God already knows and wants your heart. But I do hate it when I talk like this. Pity me. Why me? This can't be my responsibility. How did I land in such a place? Is this really where God wants me to be? But this talk with God helps Moses get clear. It helps him to sort of vent in the right place, unload in the right way. And then he can see more clearly his way forward. And God sends help. God says, get 70 elders, gather them up, and two more, Eldad and Medad. And I will put some of my spirit on them, and you will not bear this burden alone. Now, what I want to know first is, who put these two names on the baby names list in ancient Israel? I mean, Eldad, Medad, come on. But I digress. Bread, prayers, help. The church is given by God to the world for help on the way, help in the journey. God's provisions are you. I tell you all of this because no matter what kind of good work you are doing, and I've already heard in the announcements that there's plenty here, what calls you have taken up, what you are holding up, what is on your plate or has fallen over the edges of it, we will find ourselves here at some time trying to lift a load off the ground, trying to hold up under the weight that seems too much, trying to move forward and we don't know if we can. We are confused, we're upset, we complain, we get stuck, we're stalled, we're stopped. We think we can't do it. We think God's dream is too big. We think the future is so unclear. The work is too much. And how many times could you just drop it and say, I'm walking away. Forget the dream of God, except for the blessing in it. I know a man who wanted to quit on the school that they were funding through his church. He was a big part of that, in part of Pittsburgh, for the most least likely to succeed. But all the contentious meetings and all the money that seemed wasted, but the low student success rate so far. Except that he knows that this is the fruit of his highest and his best work he'll ever do. I know a woman who says some days she'd like to kick her husband to Timbuktu and lock the kids out. Except that the marriage and the kids, they mean too much. I know a man who thinks of just being free. Except that he knows he holds the light of his life. So maybe God's provision is more hands to lighten the load. And maybe it's for more good-spirited people to surround you. Maybe it's a good long prayer to figure it out. Maybe it's to deal with the whining days. That's what you have. Someone to talk and walk with you. Someone to laugh and cry with you. Someone to help you hold on to the vision and see it through and keep your peace in your soul. That is what God is providing today for the Israelites. Although there is the mother who asked her son for help. And some guests were coming over for dinner, and the mother said, Johnny, would you please pray before we eat together? And Johnny said, at first, no, mother, I don't know that I can do that. And the mother encouraged him, "Yes, you can, Johnny, just say what I say." "Okay," and Johnny prayed, "Dear God, what were we thinking when we invited these people over?" You see, sometimes the help isn't going to be all that you had in mind. But this text helps all of us, because you, like me, have some calling on your life, something hard to do sometimes, something high you want to hold up that seems bigger than you are. You all know, or if you live long enough, you will know, a desert time. And always, at these times, most of all, that is when you feel God's provisions. How God provides, you will learn what is the essence of your life. You will learn the strength, the shield, the power that holds you up in the dark. And that is why Jesus says in John 6, as we read today, after the feeding of the 5,000 on Galilee, by the river, by the lake, and he helps them, and the words he says make them follow him, and then they're hungry, and he feeds them all. They follow him across the lake and find him again because they are hungry for more of what fills the human body and the mind and the spirit. And Jesus says, "Do not work for the bread that perishes. Work for the bread that endures. Work for the bread that leads you to life everlasting, eternal life. Work for that which the Son of Man will give to you if you believe, if you will have it." It was not Moses who gave you the bread from God in the wilderness that gives life to the world. The bread that gives life to the world comes from the Father, from heaven, that makes you hunger no more. "I am the bread of life," he says. And they say, "Sir, give us this bread always." "Yes, we do." How is it that Jesus Christ is the bread of life for the world? How is it that this is bread for the journey? How is it that this is light for your way? It is very difficult to describe bread for the journey, bread that endures. But there is an artist named Richard Holdman and his brother, who is a photographer, and they have helped us to think about this on YouTube in a video called "An Interview with God." It's been viewed by millions of people, passed around the world, because it feeds people on a real journey, on a spiritual journey. There is beautiful music. And then there are these ice-capped mountain pictures, sunflowers all over. And then the words appear, "I imagined I had an interview with God." "So you would like to interview me?" "If you have the time," I said. "My time is eternity. What would you like to know?" A flute plays, a piano plays like Debbie played. Two white lilies open up before you. "What surprises you most about humankind?" And God answered, "That they get bored with childhood and grow up, and then they long to be children again. That they lose their health to make money, and then they lose their money to try to restore their health." Trees appear, golds, greens, reds, that by thinking anxiously about the future, they forget the present, such that they live in neither the present nor the future. Then a clear sky at dusk and a wispy full moon, such as we have seen the last few nights, that they live as though they will never die, and they die as though they have never lived. And then the Grand Canyon with water and rocks all surrounding and flowing. God's hand took mine, and we were silent for a while. And then I asked, as a parent, "What are some lessons that you would like your children to learn?" God replied with a smile, "To learn that it is not good to compare themselves with others, that they cannot make anyone love them, but they can let themselves be loved. That a rich person is not the one who has the most, but the one who needs the least. Cupcake flowers hang down and they drip in the morning in the dew. That it only takes a minute to open profound wounds in a human being, and it takes years often to heal them. To learn to forgive by practicing forgiveness. That they may be forgiven by others, but they must learn to forgive themselves. To learn that there are people who love them dearly, but do not know how to show them this. That two people can look at the same thing and see it differently. And finally, Bryce Canyon in Moab, Utah, sunbeam shafts falling through the clouds. Thank you for your time, the interviewer said humbly. Is there anything else you would like your children to know? Yes, God said, that I am with you always to save you. So, ask always for this bread of life that comes from God through Jesus Christ to you in all these ways: word, filling, spirit, creation, with you. Hide your life in God. Rest your bones in God. Hope in God. Pray for help whenever you need it, for whatever you need it for. For God's Spirit to be in you and in the people around you and not to leave you. For the wisdom from above that you know because of your daily and your weekly feedings on this bread of life, this Jesus Christ. For every wilderness time that you have had, are in, or will have, for all the decisions you are going to make, for everything you will say, for all that you do, may the provisions of God for you and yours always be near you. Amen.